Hello and welcome to Reddy and Newman's Daily Podcast, your go-to place for common questions about immigration to the United States. Reddy and Newman is a team of experienced business immigration attorneys who handle a host of visa categories and complex immigration cases. This podcast will provide an insight into our daily free conference calls hosted by our attorneys, as well as discussions on hot immigration topics. Please note that information provided is not to be construed as legal advice for your specific situation and does not constitute an engagement with Reddy and Newman PC or establish an attorney-client relationship. For specific advice on your situation, please contact an attorney. Here's your host.
Hi, this is Rahul Reddy. Today is September 9, 2019. The time is 3:30 p.m. Reddy and Newman PC does conduct daily conference calls. It's a free conference call for you to join. For those people who are listening to this in the podcast or any other media, you can check our conference call timings at rnlawgroup.com. Please check our timings at rnlawgroup.com. And for those people in the conference call, please press *6 to ask question. Please press *6 to ask question. 9867, you have a question for us.
Hello, sir. I have a question. So my mom has given N-400 interview, and they just given.
Did you say N-400 interview?
Yes, sir.
Citizenship, okay, go ahead.
So actually the officer has given other letter saying that he has to has not completed or has not finished the English test. So they told us.
Okay, she has not successfully. She has not successfully completed the English test. Okay.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Keep going.
So. My question is, like, you know, we just got the letter and said that to appear for the interview in the next 1 week.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just checking, like, you know, does she have to go through all the civics questions again or not?
Yes, she will have to go through all the civics questions again.
Oh, so it's better.
She failed in that test. That's the reason why they're asking to come back for the interview. I would recommend you have your mother take a lawyer along. It's not that the lawyer will do anything, can do nothing, but your mom will be very confident when she knows this lawyer is hers. That guy, she thinks so, is bad guy and the lawyer is a good guy. Because that's the way, how people feel. I have, when I was young, I used to go with some of these old people. And if you can have somebody that speaks the same language, that would be even much better. It's not that the lawyer can do anything. It's just more confidence for your mom.
Yeah, okay? Sure. So probably, I'm not sure if your law firm can help on that.
No, we don't.
Uh-huh.
Which city you are located at?
We are actually in a Plano.
Okay. I would recommend Sharada would be nice. Kodam law firm. She would be nice. She can go with your mom, okay?
Sure, I'll check with them. Thank you.
7701, you have a question for us.
Yes, sir. My question is regarding the H-4 EAD. I know my H-4 EAD is expiring on October 1st, and I cannot work beyond October 1st if I don't have the approval in hand, because H-4 EAD doesn't allow based on the extension.
Yes.
But what if I get an online approval on September 28th or 29th? Will I still have to leave the job? Because I know it takes a few days for the card to come in the mail. How does that work?
Okay, let me answer you. I will answer it as a lawyer answer. You can get it how you want to get it. Technically speaking about, your EAD card should be in your hand.
Okay.
Any other questions that you have?
No. Nothing else right now.
Right now, H-4 plus EAD, they're not approving at the same time when the H-1B is. Reddy and Newman PC is filing lawsuit every 2 weeks. If anybody of you guys want to join, you can drop an email at info@rnlawgroup.com. Because once we file the lawsuit, and they're adjudicating within 60 days after we file. So that seems to be, otherwise it may take up to anywhere between 5 to 12 months it might take to get a H-4 plus EAD. The next caller is 4736. You have a question for us.
Hello. Hi. My company A has withdrawn my petition, and after that I moved to company B, and company B's petition is denied, and I joined company C. So my I-94 is valid, but my company's A petition is revoked. Am I legally allowed to work in U.S. or not?
Is the company A's petition has been revoked or withdrawing or for some other reason?
Revoked. because I resigned from the company, so the company has withdrawn.
So the company withdrew it. Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, there's a little bit gray area right now on this part of it. So you mm-hmm. have company A, you move to company B, company B's H1B got denied, company A has withdrew it. There is a 60-day grace period that is allowed in the new regulations that came into existence in January of 2017. So whether that is applicable for the when you move from company B to company C, when you actually don't have any approval with company B, it's a gray area. We have been successfully arguing that 60-day grace period should be available when you leave company B, even though you don't have the H-1B approval with company B, and it's been successful as of now, unless they reverse that. So technically speaking I think so, you should be in legal status. However, I would like to have this legal status, I said.
Legal, okay.
Technically, you are in legal status, according to me. Now, of course, the USCIS might say otherwise. At this point of time, they're not. Now, having said that, I would like company C's H-1B to be adjudicated in premium processing. I don't want it to take 9 months and get denied, and at that point of time, USCIS tells a different story. I would rather want the adjudication to be done as soon as possible.
Again, yes. I have started working on C on regular processing for 9 months, basically, because I really do not know about this.
I would recommend that you do premium processing, sir.
And now, if I want to join company D, what is the call? Because my company C's project is already over.
You need to consult a lawyer. That's too much. You got company A, H-1B revoked. Company B got the H-1B denied. Company C, you lost the project. You want to go back to company B, you need to consult a lawyer. Sir. This conference call is not good for you. Let me see if I can get back to you. You have something else to say, sir? 4736, you have something else to say?
If I want to take advice from the law firm, so will they give over a phone call or any email summary?
Phone call. If you want, within that period of time, a summary of the email, they will send you the time. Email summary.
Okay. So, I mean, if I take two time slots, which is 1 hour, so that the right attorney will have it.
It's not needed. It's not needed. They can finish it in half an hour. I don't see a reason why the lawyer will take 30 minutes to send an email.
I understand. I mean, if I want an email summary from the attorney as well.
Yeah, you can choose a lawyer. I would recommend if you're choosing from our law firm, choose H-1B lawyers. Their typing skills are way better than mine.
Okay.
Because I type at 30 minutes per 30 words per minute. They type 90 to 100 words per minute. They are much faster in sending emails. Next caller is 2434. You have any questions for us?
Hi, Rahul. Thanks for taking the call. I have a quick question. Right now I'm on H-1B, it's been 8 years I'm in U.S., and I would like to do a scholar, PhD. Am I allowed to do it outside U.S., in India, but maybe, traveling every year and attending the professor and come back, something like that, or should I be doing only in U.S.?
You can do it in India, but I don't know how the accredited universities will work remotely when then you're doing PhD. Now, in USA, there are some universities, legal universities that I'm speaking about, that do offer online courses that are accredited. But I don't think so the same thing is offered in India. For example, there is one buddy who was here. He just went for three years to write law school exam, but he never attended the law school. He went and applied to the bar examination here saying that, look, I got a law degree there, and then they didn't recognize it. Hey, you never left the country. How did you got it? You just went for the exams. That's not counted as a law school. So do they offer the distance learning or they don't? If they don't, technically that's not valid degree at all.
Actually, I contacted one of the professor, and he said that, the very first time during the admission that you have to come, and later on, you can come every year.
What the professor says, what the professor says is different, what the university process says is different. You have to go with the, what the university process. Do they have the distance learning? Let me tell you one thing. This is not an immigration question. You may want to consult the education consultant. You may want to consult the education evaluators. They may be advising you much better than I do, because I'm just an immigration guy. I don't know much about education, to my limited knowledge. I would recommend that.
One last question. Like, you know, if I do like that, like, am I allowed to apply an EB1 category as well or not?
No. EB1 category, first is that, if I'm assuming that you get from accredited university. EB1 is not like you get a PhD. You walk in and get a movie ticket kind of thing. No, it doesn't work that way. There are a lot of different criteria for EB1. You may want to consult a lawyer before you do that. The first thing is that you have to get it from, and I will not just take a university if they don't have a distance learning. I won't even use their PhD degree at all. The next caller would be 8497. You have a question for me.
Yes, hi. I'm traveling to India along with my family. I'll be visiting India after around 3 years. I have been hearing a lot about our... Hello, am I audible?
Now you are. Go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, am I audible now?
Yeah, go ahead. Much better now.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, so I'm saying I'm traveling to India along with my family, and we'll be visiting after around 3 years. And I've been hearing a lot about RFE issues when people go for H-1B stamping. So can you please advise if... can you please advise if, you know, this is the right time to visit India? Because most of my friends, they are kind of saying that please wait it out or something of that sorts.
I just went to my doctor today, and I just only drink one time scotch a week or two times of scotch a week. He said, no, you can't drink scotch at all. Maybe he's drinking scotch, who knows? But his advice is that not to drink scotch. As an immigration lawyer, of course, we can't endorse that is it good, safe to go to India to get the stamping. And let me tell you, in my 25 years of immigration practice, or 23, I forgot it, I start counting the numbers now. In my 25 years of immigration lawyer life, I have never seen more 221Gs, I have never seen more denials than what I'm being seeing right now. I've seen some significant in 2009, but not as much as what I'm seeing right now. Now, having said that, if you're working for direct company, you know what a direct company is. I don't have to explain to you. Or through a consulting company, but with the consulting company, your risk goes higher.
Okay.
Are you there?
Yes.
So
yes,
I don't know what to say. You know, every day we get stuck people. If I were you, you know, if I'm a normal life, I have my wife, I have my family, I would rather stay here. I will call my parents to come visit me rather than me going there. That's me.
Yeah.
Okay? It's up to you. So are you working for a consulting company or a direct company?
Oh, I'm working for a government project through a contractor.
No, I would not go there at all. The government projects are very complicated. I would go only if I have a direct job. And that too, maybe I will, maybe I won't.
Understood.
The next caller, please. 2991, you have a question for us.
Yes, hi. My question is that I got my I-140 approved. However, my employer didn't send me the copy yet, and I had reached out to USCIS through that FOIA request. And in that, they send me the I-140 copy with the approved stamp and a particular date. I just wanted to check if that date is the approved date, or because my employer told me it got approved in June 2019. However, in that, it was approved in October 2018, so I got confused.
Yeah, you have to go with the approval date, what is there in there. You can always check online, punch in the number online to see which date it is if you want it. But I will definitely go with what date it is there on there.
Okay. And another question, I mean, online it's still saying that case is pending, but it got approved, so I'm not...
Yeah, you go, with the approved date. Then you go with the approval date, what is stamped in the I-140.
Okay. Because I was not sure if that, it says approved date, I was not sure if that is the date. I just got confused. Thanks for
any
that.
Other questions?
I have one more question.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So I have my visa stamped from employer A. However, mm-hmm. I've changed my job, changed my employer to employer B, and I've filed for new H-1, the processing currently. once it gets approved, and if I travel to India, do I need to go for stamping again? If my employer
when is the stamp
still,
when is it expired?
I have it till 2021.
Yeah, you technically you don't have to go for stamping. But when you come back, make sure you show the H-1B approval of Company B. You mention to the officer that you're actually working with Company B's H-1B, not Company A's H-1B. And then make sure you get the I-94 that is valid until when the Company B's H-1B expires. And check it online. If there is any mistake, there are ways to correct it. But don't wait until 2021 to check on that one.
Sure. Thank you.
The next caller is 1532. 1532. You have a question, sir. The next caller is 4522. You have a question for us.
Yes. Yeah. I am on H-4. And then last year I went to India. Before I go to India, I already have like another extension. I mean, CBP, when I returned, the port of entry, they just updated with my old I-94 date.
H-1B.
But not
H-1B
like,
approval.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes, but not like a latest one. The old one already expired. And then the latest one is valid till next year, January. So what I can do
You're
now?
You're in trouble. You're in trouble, ma'am. Especially when the extension is pending, you're not supposed to travel. If you travel, there is a complete mismatch of the I-94. You need to put the phone off. You need to consult a lawyer immediately. Okay?
Yeah. I have one question. Actually, I have two approvals. I have two approvals before I go to India only last year. Last year, before August, I got two approvals. I mean, one latest approval.
Let me ask
and then
you, when is the last time you entered into the United States?
Last year, August, 2018.
When did that I-94, what they have given, expire them?
That I-94, the first one got expired August, March 2019.
Ma'am, let me repeat again. The I-94 that you received in August of 2018, when did it expire?
March 2019.
So it expired. Now,
yes.
You said you got two more extensions approved, where they approved after your entry in August of 2018 or before August of 2018?
Before August 2018, I got approval, extension approval.
You are in unlawful status right now. You need to consult a lawyer immediately. The same thing I was telling the other guy is that when you don't show the proper approval there, they give a wrong I-94 and then you're stuck with it. There are ways to correct it before the I-94 expires, that is before March of 2019. Now you have to immediately put the phone off and consult a lawyer.
Okay.
I was telling the same thing to the other guy that, yes, you can do it, but you need to be careful when you do it. I have this caller. He doesn't have a number. What's your question, sir?
Yeah, hi. This question is regarding to the travel.
You have to speak louder and clearer, sir.
Can you hear me now?
Better, go ahead.
Okay, so this question is regarding my travel. Right now, I'm in my post-OPT, and my visa expires in June 2020 for the travel, and my OPT expires in Feb 2020. I want to travel to India in November 2019. Do you think it's a good...
Wow, not a good idea. Not a good idea at all. That's too close for you to travel. I wouldn't travel if I were you.
Okay, so... not even in the end of September or October even?
End of September is already there right now. I would not recommend that you travel, sir. I don't know what to say. I'm not a person who helps people to go and settle in India. I'm just wanting to help people as well. Yeah, and I can't help you on that. I would not suggest you at all to travel at this point of time, even though you are stamping. Your OPT, why are you coming back? You have only 2 months left. Let me check on which university you're going. Oh, come on. And all those things. You don't want to go through all that tension, though. Yeah, go ahead. 6321, you have a question for me.
Yeah, hi. I'm in a kind of a situation of, okay, let me explain you that first. So I am, my visa is going to expire tomorrow. That's H-1B. And my current H-1B, my employer filed an extension for me in August 16th. So it is got an RFP, and
of course.
So I can my employer can respond to the RFP. I mean, there's a due date to respond to the RFP, which is November 23rd. So,
of course.
So just there's one more parameter variable here in my life. So I'm in a relationship with a citizen here for more than 1.5 years, and we're getting we're planning to get married. So considering all this, if I respond to my RFP and it got denied, I have to leave the country. That is an option. I mean, that's a thing. I'm explaining the scenario, so you can suggest me the better.
So you're not explaining. You're making a statement, and you're wanting me to agree to that.
I don't have to.
Is that right? Or do I have to?
Yes. You don't need to answer.
Why?
So I'm gonna ask you a question. Okay. Yeah.
No, but you're making a statement. I disagree with it. As far as the fact statement is concerned, you're in relationship with the U.S. citizen. Your H-1B gets extension gets denied. Yeah. But no, there are all options. If you're married to a U.S. citizen, there are many options for you. You could stay here and get the green card. It's okay if you're out of status. If you get married, and a marriage is genuine, your relationship with her for 1.5 years, you're planning to get married, you get married, you can stay here and get the green card. There are many options available for you.
Yes, yes, of course. Thank you. Thanks for that. And here's my question. So should I need to wait to respond for RFP, get married before?
No, I would. If you are planning to get married, you are in relationship with this girl. I would, if I were you, I would get married right now and file the adjustment of status, and then respond to the H-1B. And it doesn't matter whether the H-1B is approved or not approved, because you will be in legal status once we file the adjustment of status. There are strategical things that you need to consider. Because employment authorization, once we file the adjustment of status, is taking 6 to 8 months. You cannot work. But once you file the adjustment of status, you can stay in this country. For that tactical reason, I would delay filing a response to the H-1B. Because if it's is it a premium processing or a normal processing?
It's a premium processing, actually.
Okay. So what I would do is that I'm planning to get married anyway, I would get married right now. File the adjustment of status, wait until the last day to file a response to the premium processing. And if it gets approved, you can continue working until you get to EAD. If it gets denied, you can still stay in the country and wait for the EAD to be approved.
So, but I can't work during that period.
Right. You can't work. All these strategies should have been laid out a little bit before discussing with a lawyer. We do come across these situations. Is that right? Yes, if the H-1B is denied, extension is denied, you don't get any EAD approval. Yeah, you cannot work in that period of time. Any other questions?
I didn't understand the last part. So
if you file the adjustment of status right now, and if your EAD extension gets denied, the EAD extension gets denied, you have to stop working until you get an EAD through the adjustment of status.
But I can stay in this country.
Which is going to take eight months. Yeah, you can stay in the country.
Okay. So is there any a premium processing to do that?
There is no premium processing, but you can consider the litigation option that you can discuss later on that. But there's no premium processing as such for the EAD application, sir. 7219, you have a question for us.
Yes. Actually, I have an approval till December 2019. It's been a long time, like 5 years I've traveled to India. So just a question, like, is it right time?
No.
No.
So let me ask you this question. Are you working for a direct client or a consulting company?
I'm a contractor to a client. It's a product-based company.
At this point of time, even if you're working for big five consulting companies, I strongly recommend all the people, if possible, try to get to the end clients. I mean, that's the best thing that you can do. Every single day, we get a 221G or a denial in the consulate. Why go somewhere else? Look at my own face in my mirror. I get from my own clients. So it's very saddening thing to even face them, their families, their things. What do I do with the car? It's very sad. So I cannot.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really want to go, at least do the join the end client, get a job with the end client. You are in a much better position than normal person.
All right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I wish I could give you right answers. I would rather want you guys to be in the right path. What I deal with. My role as an immigration lawyer is only one thing. I have no other roles. My role is only to keep you safe. I have no other roles. And for that, you know, your father is different, the doctor is different, the pujari is different, the priest is different. My role in your life is different. I was only one role. My role is only one thing in life. 8089, you have a question for us.
Yeah, so I have my H1 that is valid till October 2021. But the problem, and it's a direct client. It's a very small company, but it's a direct client. I'm not a contractor. But my employer, for whatever reason, he has not been paying me any money, my salary, for the last 4 months. So I keep trying to contact him. 90% of the time he does not answer, but the few times that he does answer, he keeps saying that he's in a very tight situation regarding money, and he will run the payroll in a couple of days. So I think I've waited long enough. I'm just wondering what my options are right now.
Yeah, you can file a DOL complaint asking for the money, but before you do that, I want you to be in a safer position. I want you to transfer the company to another company. Because
I'm looking for employers, and there are some who are willing to apply the H-1 transfer. But the thing is, like I said, I do not have the paychecks for the last 3 months.
Well, yeah, then you can do one thing. You can complain to the Labor Department, show that as an evidence of the pay stub, and file the H-1B. We do that a lot of times. And the company, the company is not giving a pay stub. I will make a complaint. It's called WH4. The form is called WH4. You can Google it. WH4, Department of Labor Prevailing Wage. That's the word. Department of Labor Prevailing Wage. You can fill out all the information, keep it ready, and go to that lawyer. Hey, look, you know, they are not doing it. Here is the evidence. I'm going to file a complaint. And before you file the H-1B, you file a complaint. Make a FedEx and put that as a tracking number, and then file the H-1B transfer. Okay.
Sure. I just have one question. Do I have to file the complaint, and only then my second employer can initiate the H-1, or I can?
Depends on. I would normally like to have a complaint to be filed when I'm filing H-1B without the pay stubs. I would like to have that one.
Okay.
Because
I
won't get an RFE.
Is it possible to initiate a H-1 transfer without the complaint? Like, I don't care whether it will get rejected 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 months down the line, but I'm just
you absolutely can file without it. You can always provide that evidence later on if and when needed. It's not absolutely necessary that you need to have a pay stubs. They won't reject it without issuing an RFE. They may, at the most, they will issue an RFE. And at the most, they will issue an H-1B without the I-94, even though you don't have a pay stub. The last caller today, sorry, we couldn't get to all the people. The next conference call will be tomorrow at 11:30. This is the last caller that we take, guys. 9722, you have a question for us.
Yeah. So my husband went to India on April 8th. He got a 221G yellow slip. It's been over 120 days since we submitted the required
What is your visa status in USA?
My husband is on a H-1B visa. I am also on a H-1B visa.
Could you transfer him on H-4, let him come here, and we can handle the things here to convert into H-1B?
Is it that easy? Because if he has to get converted to a H-4, does he have to revoke his current H-1?
No, he doesn't. He's not technically revoking it. He can withdraw the application, get a H-4 file, come here into this country, and then we can file a change of status from H-4 to H-1.
So since his H-1 currently has an RFE, will the H-4 that I apply for also get an RFE?
No, that's different.
No?
H-4 is different. No, that is different.
Okay.
H-1B RFE, the 221G, they are inquiring about the job is there or not. The H-4 normally, are you really wife and husband? Do you live together?
Okay.
Yeah, they can sometimes ask about your H1B. I'm not telling they cannot. But the his possibility of getting the H4 approval will be very high. I would get him back into the country and then do all the drama here rather than doing the drama in India.
Okay. Another thing is my H1B expires in Jan 2020. So my employer is just going to file for extension by the end of this month. So should I wait for the extension
I would still get him here. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He can tell that my wife is filing an extension, and that's fine. I'll get him here if I go here.
Okay.
That was a different story when I spoke with the F1 visa person traveling. That's different. When it comes to the H4, it's a different story. I would get him here ASAP.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you guys for coming in. The next conference call is tomorrow at 11:30. Sorry we couldn't get to all the people.
Thank you for listening to Reddy and Neumann Daily Podcast. We sincerely hope that you've taken something valuable out of it. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. For more information or if you want to make an appointment, check out our websites, rnlawgroup.com and immigrationgirl.com. Have an awesome day.